tonight to be able just to be in the presence of those who serve the Lord and to protect and to serve and served our great nation. And we're thankful tonight for all of those, the military, armed forces. We're thankful for each and every one. We get an opportunity in the Philippines to do the same thing, to help the Philippine National Police. And we love to share the Word of God with those in uniform in the Philippines. But Pastor, thank you very, very much. We're the Hunter family, hunting for souls in the Philippines. And so I was wondering why God gave me that last name, Hunter. So our sending church, the Liberty Baptist Church, there in Louisville, Texas, Pastor Stephen Phillips. And this is our story tonight. I know there's sound on that. Oh, there you go. So we're located all the way in Mindanao, on the island of Mindanao. That's our staff. We have our Bible college, it's free. Our choir. And this is our north building. That's our old building. We've since moved over now to our new building. And we have 200 students in our private school, our Christian school. It's a great tool for discipleship, to be able to reach out to the children in the community. Every day we have chapel hour. We get to teach the children about the precious Word of God. Our academy graduation. That's my assistant pastor, and he's also my brother-in-law. Makes it very convenient. It's our preschool graduation. This man got saved, and we discipled him, our youth pastor. Please pray for our protection against the New People's Army. They like to shoot police officers and burn up buildings and things of that nature, so please pray for us. I get to have my own badge and work side by side with the Philippine National Police. General Eric Nobly gave me the authority to be able to go to any school, anytime, anywhere, and preach the Word of God for 2.5 hours in every school. What a privilege that is. A blanket authority all across the Philippines. We go into government buildings, and we teach the police officers. We also have feeding ministry, and we get to gather all the children from our area. And we also have our soul-winning team, Baptist Bikers. Praying. So it's an awesome privilege just to go anywhere, everywhere people live. That bus is 20 years old, that Baptist bus, still alive. And so we're praying also for the children that we help every month. We have a feeding ministry. We give them soup, gather them all together. A lot of children just really hungry, and we give them slippers. A lot of children don't even have shoes on their feet. So it's a blessing to be able to give them that. We give them school supplies. A lot of children can't even afford an education. But the most important thing is that we give them the salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood for them. And Baptist baptism, no sprinkling, no pouring, no squirt guns, deep water, praise the Lord. And so all the children come out and all the neighbors say, what is that Baptist preacher doing in the water? They get to baptize and tell the world about Jesus, praise the Lord. And we're also training the nationals. Our prayer is to train nationals and plant 500 churches all throughout the Philippines. I pray that you'll help us pray for that. We have our outreach with the Talaandig tribe. It's a different language altogether. We currently have 6 church plants, and we're praying that by the grace of God, we'll have 500. That's my prayer in my lifetime. I want to dream big. I want to dream as big as I can. Praise the Lord. And this is Pastor Larry Neff, Pastor Ron Black. Pastor Larry Neff is the founder of Lighthouse Children's Homes, and we are the 7th. We are their 7th orphanage worldwide, located in Mindanao. And this is the story of the first 5 children that we had that God gave us in 2017. God started with giving us 2 little sisters. This is Gretchen Lampitao. She was only 10 years old when she came in 2017. No mother, no father. Both of them totally abandoned by their parents. I can't even understand that. Why a parent would want to do that. The grandmother brought them in. Pastor, we don't have the money to take care of these girls. But by the grace of God, now she has a new life in Jesus. She has a smile. She has a family. Yeah, she gets to go to school. All of it's free. Everything's paid for. food, shelter, clothing. For $100, we were able to, $100 a month, we were able to rescue one child from off the streets, bring them into a home, a place. What's $100? I mean, $100. And that's groceries. And we can actually give them schooling, education. That's my wife, Victoria, the most beautiful woman in all the world. That's right there. And so for amount of groceries, we can feed children like this. Honey, let Lampita. This is Gretchen's little sister. $100 includes clothing, shelter, food, schooling until they graduate from high school. And then eventually they get to come here to the United States. Only Jesus can heal the wounds that are deep in their soul, in their heart. And then God gave us two brothers. This is Jew and Serbo. They used to walk the streets begging for food, begging for money, just looking for a place to sleep. Abandoned by their parents. But now they have a home. Now they have a family. Over 2 million abandoned children in the Philippines. And our goal is to be able to reach out to these children. This is John Lloyd Serbo. Every child is precious in the eyes of God. Every child is very precious. A unique opportunity for us to be able to reach out to these children. Lastly, God gave us Jomer Haguting. Jomer, he lived on the streets for a whole year before we found him. We gave him a home. He's a great basketball player now. He likes to play basketball. Loves to ride his bike. And because of churches like yours who help us, we're able to reach out more. By the grace of God, we have 28 precious children that the Lord has allowed us to rescue now, by the grace of God, from different tribes, different places, all over Mindanao. Our goal is to reach out throughout all the Philippines, reach as many as we can. I'm praying for 1,000 children. I said, Lord, help me have 1,000 children and keep my hair too. But we have 28 children now there, and my wife said, you got to come home soon. They like ice cream too, these children. Oh, it's just a wonderful blessing to be able to have these children. They called me, video called me this morning. Pastor, don't forget, when you come home, don't forget our gifts. So they already want their gifts. So say, I'll bring you gifts. And so what a blessing it is to be able to reach out to these children. I love them so much. And thank God for the blessing of having churches like yours who help us. Some churches pitch in. They got their own little bicycles during Christmas. And they're just, oh, that's my first bike. You know, just rocking. So that's really a blessing. And then during the pandemic, the Lord gave us 7 acres of property. So, I mean, that's my wife's inheritance. And then my wife said, well, I'm going to give it to the Lord. I said, okay, we'll start digging holes and planting trees and building posts. And the Lord allowed all the Bible students to help out. And the Lord just started giving us more finances. And even the mayor pitched in. He said, Brother Hunter, do you need some heavy earth moving equipment? I said, yeah. Here you go. And we started meeting there even before the building was finished. Everyone just helping out, all the married men, married ladies, all the young people. Just everyone, someone knows how to do the welding. Someone knows how to do the cement mixing. And just everyone working together. All the Bible says just happy to do it. And if they're not happy, just give them a demerit. Then they'll be so happy. They're just really happy to do it. And then, this is during our graduation. We had 600 parents there. They got to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ during our closing ceremonies. Praise the Lord. And this is the Talaandig outreach, the tribes there in the Philippines, in Bukidnon, Sinuda. We get an awesome opportunity. We retrain our Bible college students, and then they go back to their own people. This is during our youth camp, and what a blessing. After we finished the building, the altar was finished, just a blessing to see all these young people flood the altar with tears of joy. Lord, I want to serve you, Lord. Use my life. What a blessing it is to see young people surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Full-time service. Lord, I'm going to go to Bible class. Teach me your word. Teach me thy word, oh God. And so what a blessing is. We had many saved during the youth camp and some got baptized. And even there's two grandmothers in the middle. Notice those grandmothers in the middle? I said, didn't you get the memo? This is a youth camp. She said, well, can we join anyway? I said, yeah, you can join. Yeah, you can join. So they got saved. They got baptized. They said, can we come back to a youth camp next year? I said, yeah, come over. So that was a blessing. And so we had a church in South Dakota give us two container vans, 750,000 Bibles. We were able to use these Bibles to go as we go to these schools and give the Word of God. We preach the Word and then give them Bibles in those schools. What a blessing it is that we can plant the Word of God and then give the Word of God to them. So we're located all the way in Mindanao, southern part, and there's a drug war right now in the Philippines. A lot of drug lords and drug runners and all just all the drugs. And it's bittersweet because of the drugs, God has allowed us to go in any school, anytime, anywhere in the Philippines, and for 2.5 hours to preach the life-changing, life-transforming word of God. So I used to go to the principal and say, "Hello, I'm Pastor Hunter from Bible Baptist Church, and I'm here to preach the word of God in your school." She said, "No, you're not." Well, then the Lord brought me back again. "Hello, I'm Chaplain Hunter, the regional director of Region 10, and our group is here to give a two and a half hour symposium on the ill effects of drugs." They said, "Oh, why didn't you say so?" So they let us come in, and then we preach. We have one who teaches about drugs, one who teaches about smoking and cigarettes and every sin under the sun, and then the last hour is devoted only to preaching Christ. What a blessing that is that we have. And they can't say no. So what a blessing we get to minister these children, law enforcement, government officials. We just go anywhere, everywhere. I get to have my own uniform. Just awesome. Our team gets to go out together. Then every Friday, we drive 6 hours to preach a one-hour sermon to hundreds of police officers. There's about 500, 800 police officers every week that are there, and these police officers, they come in, they're just like that, and then after you start preaching, they start. So they receive Christ, and their hearts are soft, and it's a blessing to see these officers receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And my friends, the chiefs of police in Bukidnon, and they give them Bibles, and we use a 5,000 lumen or 6,000 lumen projector, so we can have even outdoor services there. These children, they stood for 3 hours. 3 hours, no chairs. They stood for 3 hours, and they enjoyed listening to the word of God. And we bring along a power and a generator for power outages. We're praying for a vehicle so we can go over the river and through the woods to these places. And so we're praying for some more walkie-talkies. The police officers, they escort us to these schools. And I had Tower 1, this is Tower 2, come in, please. You know, high-level security stuff, you know. We enjoy it. We're praying for some Humvees. You'd like to give us those, too. That would be awesome. We had a team from South Dakota came, and one from Barrow, Alaska. And we introduced them to the police officers who were holding their M16s as we were holding our John 3:16s. And what a blessing that was. We always ask the question of these children, if you die today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? That's the most important question in all the world. I always ask them, you know what the most important question is in the whole world? The most important question. And they're thinking, what's the most important question? If you die today, are you sure that heaven is your home? It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship in Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to see young people, police officers, teachers, receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. Oh, how I pray that God would allow that to happen here in the United States. Oh, that needs to happen. That needs to happen so bad here. We're praying for that. And what a blessing it is. Young people, I said, I'm not going to force you. If you want to receive Christ, you want to reject him, that's up to you. But we're giving you an opportunity to repent of your sin. Ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. Place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. His finished work on the cross of Calvary. And what a blessing it is to see so many hands receive Christ. Muslims receiving Christ. Catholics receiving Christ. Just people, Seventh-day Adventists receiving Christ. What a blessing. Unique opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel to these children. Every school, any school, anytime, anywhere. Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. And then we give them Bibles, a sea of Bibles, just wherever you go. This is a unique opportunity. I'm thankful I can be a part of that mission, that work. And so our prayer, pastors, we go to a school, we preach, and then we're praying that we can plant a church right there. Go another school, preach, and then plant another church. Our prayer is to have 500 churches planted. That's my prayer. And so what a blessing it is to be able to help these. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So that's our prayer. Brother Pastor Serino from Barrow, Alaska, came all the way to the Philippines. He said, "Brother, I think I'm melting." But anyway, I said, "You're not going to build a snowman." So will you partner with us? That's the question of the hour. So I gave that song to you. This is where I usually would sing, but I already sang. So Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." What a blessing to know that God is with us even right now. So this afternoon, can I ask you please to stand as we go to our message? Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to give the word. Fasting, fostering, Father of the fatherless. Let's open our Bibles this evening to James chapter 1, verse 27. Just one verse of scripture. James 1, 27. James 1, 27. Thank you so very, very much for standing tonight. And thank you for your listening ear. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to give the word of God tonight. I pray that you'll let me challenge you tonight. And let God challenge your heart and touch your heart in a special way. James 1, 27. Let's read tonight. Ready? Begin. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Bible says to visit the fatherless. God has a special place in his heart for the fatherless. Father in heaven, I pray that you're blessed, Lord God. Give me the power to preach, Lord God. Touch the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's night. It's okay, Pastor, if I come down here and walk around, just kind of doing my little exercise tonight. Pure religion. God has a special place in his heart for the fatherless. I came from a broken home. My father left me when I was only 4 years old. And when he left, he never called, never said happy birthday, never called to say I love you, never visited. And that was it. I mean, but 27, when I was 27 years old, I was in the Philippines as a missionary. My phone rang. I answered and he said, hello, son. I said, dad? Yeah, I'm here in Davao. I'm 4 hours away from you. Why? Why are you here? He said, I want to visit you. Well, yeah, come visit me. Yeah, that's not, amen, yeah. And he came, and my dad's only 5 foot tall. And he looked up and he said, I'm so, so sorry. He said, you better not do that again. Now, I wouldn't mess with my dad because he's a black belter, so I wouldn't mess with him. But I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I forgave you a long time ago. I forgave you, Dad. You know why? Because I have Christ in my heart. And I have no reason to be bitter. So I gave my dad a hug. I gave my dad a kiss. And I told my dad, Dad, I love you. I've been wanting to do that a long, long time. And you know what? After that, I introduced my wife and my children. He got to meet his grandchildren. We had barbecue that day. And we had cake and ice cream. When he passed away in 2018, although it was very bitter, sweet because of the fact that I forgave him. And it's good to forgive. Amen. It's not good to have a grudge or hold something bitter in your heart. You got to spit that out. You got to eat the chicken, but spit out the bones, you know. don't eat that, you know. And so my dad gave me a stepfather. I don't call him stepdad, just for illustration's sake, but God gave me a father, Kevin Hunter. Hunter, you know, born in Colorado. You know? My Uncle Bob, he's there. He has a forest in his backyard. He goes, I'm going to go get dinner. Early in the morning, I'm going to go get dinner. And he'd get on the horse with his cowboy hat. And he has a shotgun. And sure enough, in the afternoon, he'd bring home a deer, and we have venison. You know? But what a blessing. You know, just the Lord has given me an opportunity to have this life. And I could regret it, and I can be bitter. And I was when I was younger, Pastor. I want to find my dad one day. I'm going to find him. And if I didn't receive Jesus Christ, I'd be acting a different way. I thank God for the love of Jesus Christ tonight. And that's pure religion. God says, I want you to visit the fatherless. That's a command. It's not a holy suggestion. It is a command to take care of the fatherless. And so we see a lot of churches today. Thank God, not this church and not this pastor. Pastor, you're a loving pastor. I can see it just exudes from your life. You're a happy pastor. And what a blessing to see these members. You have a good pastor. Amen. You have a good church, Pastor. But pure religion. You know, I've been in a lot of churches as a missionary. I get the unique opportunity to see dead churches and alive churches and just kind of lukewarm churches. It's just, tonight, this is alive. This is a church that's alive. Praise the Lord. Some churches, no involvement, no compassion. They can hardly shake your hand. They can't even look your way. Just kind of have a chip on their shoulder. And you're a missionary. What do you think you're doing here? Okay, sorry. You know. But number one, we are to defend the rights of these fatherless and ensure justice for them. The Bible says, defend the poor and fatherless. Defend the poor and fatherless. I mean, that's probably not a life, someone's life verse tonight, but that's God's command. Defend the poor and fatherless. Sir, yes, sir. You know, That's what God wants us to do. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And so we're losing a generation. Here in the United States, we are losing a generation. To the LGBTQ, RSTUV, WXYZ. And so we don't even know where to go to the bathroom anymore. And we don't know which sports we can play without getting beat up, you know. And so we're losing a generation because churches in general are silent. And they're not following God's command to take care, to defend the fatherless. There are warnings in the Bible, blessings in the Bible about caring for orphans. God takes the business of looking after an orphan so seriously that he includes several scriptural warnings about dealing with the orphan and the widow. There's so many people molesting children, pornography, prostitution, trafficking. God says, you know what I say about that? But whoso shall offend these, one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's what God feels about that. And so pornography should not be in our life. That all should be thrown away, and especially not molestation of children. God makes it clear that no society should tolerate abuse or unfair treatment of an orphan. He also includes this as a condition for his blessings. If you want to know how to get God's attention, take care of an orphan. God started blessing our ministry in the Philippines. God opened the door of opportunity to the police and to the army and to the government officials, started opening these doors when we started taking care of the fatherless. I prayed for 10 years. Oh, God, give us an orphanage. Oh, God, give us an orphanage. I prayed and fast for an orphanage. I prayed. I begged. I said, Lord, give us an orphanage. Give us an orphanage. And in 2017, God allowed me to meet Pastor Larry Neff. It was just passing, Pastor. It was Waxahachie, Texas. I was in Pastor Robert Lewis's office. And, oh, Brother Hunter, come in for a moment. This is Brother Larry Neff. He's the director for the Lighthouse Children's Homes. Yeah, he builds orphanages around the world. I said, wow. I've been praying that God would allow us to have an orphanage in Philippines. He said, we've been praying that we can build one in Philippines. Oh, amen! so we got on board right away. What a blessing. And so why do we need this? Because there are a lot of men, but no fathers. A lot of men, but doesn't mean you're a father. And so we thank God for the fathers who stand up. Children having children, broken homes. I know how that feels. It's a blessing to have a father. My dad, he loved me. My stepdad, he loved me. He loved me. He loves me still. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. Yeah, he loves me. Yeah, I remember his belt. He had horses that kind of engraved in the side of his belt. And then he'd tell me, you know, brother, son, you know what you did wrong? Yeah. Yes, Dad. I want to pray first. Lord, help brother, my son to realize that what he did is wrong. Jesus, not me pray, amen. Okay, it's going to hurt me, Lord, hurt you. No, it won't. I can guarantee you it hurt me more than it hurt him. But he spanked me, and then he had to be praying, and I was speaking in tongues. Lord, why? I can understand what, only God can understand what I was saying. And after that was gone, I look in the mirror, and I see horses. I see horses. But Exodus chapter 22, the Bible says, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. God gives a warning. God gives a warning. Just kids. Just leave them alone. No, no, no. God saw it so important that he put it in the Bible. Amen. And not just one time. Not something just one time passing, that's it. No, no. It's throughout the word of God. Take care of the widows. Take care of these fatherless. You know why? He says, if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. I wonder, does God hear the cries of millions of children around the world? Yeah, he hears them. And it's not a drowned out noise. God hears the cries of everyone, and he hears them individually. And he understands each and every single one. And God says, I know how to balance everything out. He says, you better be careful how you take care of these fatherless. If not, I'm going to hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot. I'll kill you with the sword. Doesn't sound too good. That doesn't sound good at all. So at one end, God says, I'll kill you with the sword. But then, if I take care of an orphan, if I take care of the fatherless, if I love the fatherless, if I pour out my life to these children, Maybe God will do something opposite and then kill me with a sword. Maybe he'll give me blessing and give me outpouring of blessing in my ministry, in my life. And he has. And he is. And he will continue to do such. Why? So much pornography, child abuse, child prostitution, child trafficking, domestic violence, just all throughout everything. We're losing a generation. Children abandoned by their parents. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 6, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. You always remember this: the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And what if the stranger falls in love with the widow, and then the stranger and the widow get married, and then they take care of the fatherless? Hey, that's a family right there. Praise the Lord. I'm praying that God will give us, as God has given us an orphanage, my next goal is to have a place for widows and then another place for strangers. And then, well, they can go on a date and get married, and then they can adopt one of those children over there. Praise the Lord. Woo, only God can think about that, right? Only God. That's only God. And if you oppress not the stranger, the father's widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after the other gods you hurt. What's God's promise? Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and forever. God says, I give you these blessings if only you take care of the fatherless. Number two, we are to feed and to clothe them. That's not if I want to. We'll see if it's in the budget. No, God blessed you to be a blessing to others. God uses us to be a channel of his love to others. But whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. The question is, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We're not going to be very long in this world. We're not going to last very long. Over 163 million orphans worldwide. And you don't even have to be a big church to do that. You don't have to go all the way to the Philippines, right here in your own backyard. There are a lot of children. You know, churches back in the day, they used to see children, invite them in, give them soup, give them soap, let them have a hot shower, give them clothes, get them off the streets. Churches ain't doing like that today. Oh, how we pray that we can get back to the old paths, and that God will allow us to take care of the fatherless once again. Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 20, when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. Why? That's mine. Lord, you gave me these trees anyway. That's all my blessing. No, it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. You know what God said? I blessed you not for you, or not just for you, but I blessed you to be a blessing to others. You ever wonder why we have so much in our pantry we'll never eat anyway? We have so much in our garage we'll never use. And then we get sickness. We get high blood. We get diabetes. We get problems with our body because we're eating it all. And God said, what are you doing? I didn't give that to you. It's for the stranger. It's for the fatherless. It's for the widow. No, it's mine. No, it's not yours. Leave it alone. And so, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. Why? It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. Over and over again. Over and over again, God says, leave it alone. It's not yours. Leave some. Don't eat it all. Don't eat it all. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor? Oh, Brother Hunter, I don't want to hear that. Hurts my ears. You got to uncover your ears tonight. You got to let God do a work in your heart. If you cover your ears tonight, the Bible says he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You hear those who cry tonight, you help them. One day when you cry, someone will help you. Proverbs 28, verse 27, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes, oh, I don't want to see that, brother. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. But yet, God says, open your eyes. There's a world of hurting people that I want you to be a blessing to tonight. Because if you close your eyes, you hide your eyes, you'll have many a curse. I don't want to be cursed tonight. I want to be blessed. I want this church to be blessed. I want this pastor. I want these members to be blessed. Amen. And the only way you can do it is not cover your ears, not cover your eyes. You know what, Brother Hunter? You got to give me another reason why why I should be helpful to these people. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman." God says, "I don't want you to forget where you came from." Tonight you're here because someone shared the gospel with you. You're here tonight because someone shared the word of God with you, and you got saved. Where would you be tonight if no one shared that wonderful good news to you? I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd probably be very bitter. Bitter because I lost my dad. Bitter because I don't have a dad. Bitter, 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 bitter. But I thank God I have Christ in my heart. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You're my brother, you're my sister. You're the same father, praise the Lord. Point number three, almost done. We are to love the fatherless as Christ loved us also. That's a command. That's a command. Oh, but brother, they stink. Oh, they're just bad mouths. They're disrespectful. These kids, these are just brats. No, no, no. We need to share the love of Christ with them. You and I would be just the same. You and I deserve hell. If not for Christ's love on the cross of Calvary, you and I would be in hell even now. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, watch what it says, Abba, Father. When I was a little boy, I wanted so much to hug my dad. I wanted so much to hear his voice. My heart cried out, Abba, where's my dad? Oh, I love my stepdad, but he's not my dad. In my mind, little boy, I was about 8 years old. Who's this guy think he is spanking me? He had no right to spank me. No, I was angry. I was bitter. But then I thank God I had a father who stepped in. He loved me. He didn't abuse me, no. And by the way, spanking is not abuse. God made a part of your body with a lot more cushion. Yes, sir. It'll wiggle and jiggle, but it won't get bruised. That's all it does. You just beat that thing, but you won't die. Praise the Lord. But my dad, he's a daddy. He's a daddy, and daddy will play with you and he'll laugh with you. But sometimes he's father. I told you to be dad. I never talk back to my dad. Never, ever, ever talk back to my dad. I love life. I never talk. Cut the grass. Yes, sir. Yes, dad. Wash the car. Yes, dad. Clean the dish. Yes, dad. My sister didn't get that memo. So always talking back. Always talking back. Grief to dad. Always talking back. Always fighting. Always arguing. Oh, but no, I didn't do that. I just didn't. I think I was at least smart in that area of life. But we all cry out tonight, Abba. We all need an Abba. He's our Abba. He's daddy. He'll laugh with you. Smile with you. Make jokes with you. Tonight we saw pastor. He's pastor. He's pastor. But sometimes he has to be preacher. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there was one pastor who came. He said, "Brother, I'm gonna have someone come in just in a moment. I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor, and I love you. You know I do. I'm gonna have someone come in. The preacher's gonna come in just a moment. Just sit tight. He'll step out of the room. He'll come back right in, and he's the preacher. Brother, what you did is wrong, brother. You gotta know that it's against the word of God." And so he'd be preaching. Afterward, he stepped out, and the pastor, he'd step right back in. He said, "Oh, that was some good stuff, right?" So there's a father, there's an Abba, there's a father, and we need to know exactly when to be a daddy, exactly when to be a father. I thank God I had that, even though I didn't have my dad, but he took care of me. My stepdad took care of me. Wherefore, there are no more called a servant, but a son. And if the son, then an heir of God through Christ, God loves you. I came all the way from the Philippines to tell you something very sweet. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. I love saying that. Going to schools, 3,000 children. God loves you. God loves you. I go everywhere. Police officers in uniform. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. It's just a wonderful, it's just wonderful to say that. And so tonight, I want to remind you where you came from. Who used to change your diaper when you were young? You know, when mom changed the diaper? I'm so glad I'm a poor. When dad, fire in the hole, gas mask, fire in the hole. it's different with dad, right? It's different with dad. But we still need dad. We still need dad. Still need dad. So bath time, mom and dad are there. And I love you so much, mom. It's just a wonderful blessing. Point number four and last, I'm done. We're to find families for them. We're to find families. That's what God wants us. God says, I want you to find these children. Find the fathers. Love them. Find a family for them. The father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. God took my life. He looked down from heaven. He said, oh, my son is alone. He needs a dad. And so God allowed Kevin Hunter to step in my life. And he loved me as if I was his own son. And I always tell Dad, Dad, thank you so much. You love me. You still do. He'd bring me to school. He seen my friends coming. He said, oh, you don't have to hug me. I said, no, Dad. You're my dad. I love you, Dad. Oh, it's a wonderful blessing. Young people, don't get sick and tired of hugging your dad and saying, I love you, Dad, and love you, Mom. Oh, praise God for your family. Praise God for your mom and dad. Invest your love in those who cannot pay you back. This is David Perez. We sent him some buying boxes of stuff from Goodwill here from the United States. Send to the Philippines. We had 10 boxes. When we opened those boxes, they're all, oh, it's mine. It's just mine, Pastor. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Oh, they're just so happy. You know, our gold is their, our garbage is their gold. Our trash is their treasure in the Philippines. Right, sister? It's a blessing for us to be able to bring. And so what a blessing it is just to be able to give that. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Consider the poor tonight. Consider the fatherless tonight. Consider those who are less than tonight. They don't have as much as we have, but God loves them just as much. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. I have a 501k, I have a Social Security, I have all these things, Brother Hunter. I have all these things that I can fall back on. But we don't know how long we have to live. And we can't bring a single cent to heaven. But there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. They just give and give and give. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. And everything that we've given is not really giving at all. God says, thank you for the loan. I'll use it. And I'll bring it back to you with interest. God knows how to repay you. And he that which he hath given, will he pay him again? I like that word again. That's good. And then I asked Elgin Tauto. I said, Elgin, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? He said, Pastor, I was opening the Bible. And I was just opening the pages there. And all of a sudden, there was a verse. It popped out. I said, what do you mean? It came out of the page. I said, wow, what is that verse? He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. How did she find that verse? You know why? Because that Bible's alive. Amen. And the author's alive. We have a God in heaven who loves us. Do you believe that God is here tonight? Yes. Do you believe that God is here tonight? Amen. And we're not here by accident. And we're not here by coincidence. Pastor didn't know me. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to come. Short notice. But I believe that God brought me here. I didn't even know I was coming here. But God knew. God knew exactly what you needed tonight. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know God has a reason for this message tonight. And so my mother-in-law, she passed away 2023. She got Alzheimer's, Pastor. She lost her memory. My wife had to change her diaper. Because she'd just go anywhere. She forgot where she was. She forgot who she was. Forgot us. She was our prayer warrior. Soul winner. A loving wife to her husband. She passed away.
I want you to watch this tonight. My child, when I get old, I hope you understand and have patience with me in case I break a plate or spill soup on the table because I'm losing my eyesight. I hope you don't yell at me. Older people are sensitive, always having self-pity when you yell. When my hearing gets worse and I can't hear what you're saying, I hope you don't call me deaf. Please repeat what you said or just write it down. I'm sorry, my child. I'm getting older. When my knees get weaker, I hope you have the patience to help me get up. Like how I used to help you while you were little, learning how to walk. Please bear with me. When I keep repeating myself like a broken record, I hope you just keep listening to me. Please don't make fun of me or get sick of listening to me. Do you remember when you were little and you wanted a balloon? You repeated yourself over and over until you got what you wanted. Please also pardon my smell. I smell like an old person. Please don't force me to shower. My body is weak. Old people get sick easily when they're cold. I hope I don't gross you out. You remember when you were little? I used to chase you around because you didn't want to shower. I hope you can be patient with me when I'm always cranky. It's all a part of getting old. You'll understand when you're older. If you have some spare time, I hope we can talk even just for a few minutes. I'm always all by myself all the time. I have no one to talk to. I know you're busy with work. Even if you're not interested in my stories, please make time for me. Do you remember when you were little? I used to listen to your stories about your teddy bear. When the time comes and I get ill and bedridden, I hope you have the patience to take care of me. I'm sorry if I accidentally wet the bed or make a mess. I hope you have the patience to take care of me during the last few moments of my life. I'm not going to last much longer anyway. When the time of my death comes, I hope you hold my hand and give me the strength to face death. And don't worry. When I finally meet our Creator, I will whisper in his ear to bless you. Why? Because you love your mom and your dad. You know, young people, there's blessings to be had just by obeying your parents, loving your parents, loving your mom, loving your dad. Don't talk back to your dad. Don't talk back to your mom. One day you'll lose your dad. One day you'll lose your mom. You know, one day you're not going to have the opportunity to hug them and to say, I love you, and to give them a kiss. Today, while they're still alive, this is your time. This is your opportunity to tell them. We can give shelter, education, food, and clothing. However, in order for children to thrive, they need to have the unfailing love of Christ. The children, one day they came in, Pastor, and they were in tears. Pastor, what's wrong? We see you hugging your daughters, but no one hugged us. So what do you need? Can we have a hug too? Okay, I wasn't used to that. That's not my kid. Okay, there you go. There you go. I wasn't used to that. I came from a broken home. No one hugged me when I was a kid. Thank God for my stepdad. Is a hug important? Are the words I love you important? Parents, is a kiss important? We cry, Abba Father. want you to watch this in closing tonight. The soldier comes home from the field, knocks on his dad's door, surprises him. What's he looking for? Money? No. Just looking for a hug. I want to hug my dad. I'm going to surprise dad. His heart cries, Abba, Father. This brother comes home. He sees his brother, looking for his little brother. What's he looking for? Just a hug. Is a hug that important? Are the words, I love you, that important? Do people really need love? This father goes to a school where his son is. He wants to surprise his son. Stumbling over himself, his son finds him, runs and jumps into his arms. Is a hug important? Is love important? This was on the news. He looks up. Oh, it's dad. What are you doing here, dad? No matter how tall you are, no matter how old you are, I'm a big boy now. I don't need to hug dad. No, we still need to hug dad. This mom goes to where her daughter is finishing at the finish line, meets her with open arms. Is a hug that important? Oh, church, how I pray tonight, you realize a hug is very important. This father goes to the baseball game where his daughter is. She turns around, drops the bat, runs to her dad. The baseball game is canceled. And all she can do is hug her dad. This church here, Town East, can show the love of Christ here in San Antonio. We need to show the love of Christ. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a high IQ. You just have to have the love of Christ in your heart. We can fill this building. We can plant more churches. You know how? With the agape love, Christ-like love. Father comes home. His son can hardly walk, but he musters all the strength he can to go and hug his dad. Oh, dads are important. Don't neglect that blessing. Don't underestimate that blessing. This boy's playing basketball, doesn't realize his mom is standing right behind him, turns around, Mom! Mom, it's Mom! Home, it's Mom! He's overcome with joy and love. His heart cries, Abba, Father. His heart misses his mother. A lot of people having just a bad day. We can show love. This boy thinks he's sparring with his coach, but then he hears the voice. He said, that doesn't sound like coach. Sound like dad. Wait a second, let me take out this. Sound like dad. It is dad. He hugs dad. How important is that? His father is in the building. He says, really? Dad's here. He runs to dad. It's on the news. Not a dry eye. Why? The world knows what love looks like. The world can see love. Christ wants us to love each other. Christ wants us to love the people around us. Like I said, doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 3 or 30 years old. Doesn't matter. God wants to bless his people tonight. Can I ask everyone to stand tonight? I'm going to ask you to do something very, very special. I can't do it anymore. My dad's already gone. If your dad is here tonight, if your mom is here, if your grandfather is here, if your grandmother is here, can I ask you right now just to step out where you are and just go to your dad and give him a big hug and say, thank you for being my dad. Just step out right where you are. Just go. Give a hug to your dad. Give a hug to your mom. Give a hug to your parents. Give a hug to your grandfather. Give a hug to your grandmother. Thank you for being my dad. Thank you for being my mother. Thank you for being my grandfather. Thank you for being the parents' guardians in my life. I'm going to ask you tonight, church, do you love your pastor?
Absolutely.
Pastor, can I ask you and your wife, please come tonight? Just stand right here, Pastor. Pastor, no, I'm going to do this. Can you please come tonight? Pastor, can I be the first one?
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to come. Do you love your pastor? You know how many churches tonight don't even have a pastor? Thank God for a pastor who studies, he prays, he does everything he can to sacrifice for you. And tonight, church, I give you the opportunity to come and say thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for being a pastor's wife. Thank you so very, very much. Line up. Say thank you, pastor. And then after you're done, thank God for being God. And just come to an old-fashioned altar. So many churches tonight without a pastor. So many churches don't even have a man of God. You have a good pastor tonight. A man who loves the Lord. He smiles. You'd think maybe he has no problems. But a pastor has many problems that he has to face. The pastor needs to hear it sometimes. If your parents aren't here tonight, why don't you call them tonight? Call them tomorrow. Visit them this week. Send them a text. Shoot them an email. Send them some pictures. Let them know how much you love them. Our hearts cry, Abba, Father, tonight. Tonight the altar is open for you. Just so I say, Lord, thank you for being my Father. You are my Abba, Father. Whatever your problem is that you're facing tonight, storms. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Shall walk and not faint. Altar's open for you. Why don't you pour out your heart to the Lord tonight? Thank God for this church, Town East. Thank God for the congregation. Thank God for the brothers and sisters you have here tonight. A loving, godly family. What a blessing. Do you see a church like this? Love the Lord. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise. And I'll add one more thing. Thank God for all of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, police officers who served this nation. What a blessing it was tonight to see the honor flight. To see the honor that they give to the soldiers. I thank God for each and every soldier that's laid their life down so that I can have my freedom. Church, I pray tonight we will be silent no longer, silent no more. We need to help the fatherless, be a voice to the voiceless. Altar's open for you. God bless you, everyone.
Forgiving to the Lord, I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Giving to the Lord, I am so glad you gave. so glad you
Man, what a service, huh? When I met you last Tuesday, the Lord just said, man, have you in. Immediately, and didn't even know you more than about 10 minutes, but the Lord told me to have you in, and I'm so glad I did. What a beautiful night tonight. What a wonderful message that you brought on the heart toward the children, the poor, and the fatherless, the widows. You know, as you were speaking, the Lord convicted me. We've got this bus just sitting out here. It's just sitting out here. And we've talked about selling it, and I keep saying no. We had a bus ministry, and during COVID, it shut it down. We've made two attempts to start it back, and we've not been able to get it reprimed. And while you were speaking tonight, the Holy Spirit convicted me that we've got to get this bus ministry going. Amen. We've got to get it going. And we, you know, there's not just children that need the Lord in the Philippines. There's children right here around our church that need the Lord. And their moms and dads probably will never bring them to church. They'll never hear the name of God unless it's a curse word in their homes. And it's just sad to me, and I'm going to make it a matter of even more serious prayer that God rises up people from our church body. And I don't want to draft you, and I don't want to beg you, and I don't want to make you do it. But I'm praying that the Lord will raise somebody up that will say, this is my moment. This is my ministry. This is my calling. This is where I can make a difference. And our streets are full of kids. And the difference is, it's going to take somebody that is going in the name of the Lord. Not under pressure. Not because the preacher said, you're doing this. When we get that person that will come forward and say, this is my ministry, this is what God's called me to do, we won't be able to build a children's ministry by the tonneau big enough to hold those kids, because there's thousands of them out there. We'll run into the problem of we can't reach them all. We don't have room. And that'd be a good problem to have. But it grieves me that that bus sits there week after week, week after week. We need it to come in full of kids. And those kids are there. And you convicted me tonight on that. I sat there in the pew, the Holy Spirit working me over. It's time for Town East to get back in that bus ministry. It really is. And it's time for us to start praying that the Lord will raise somebody up that will be driven by burden, not pressure. Driven by burden. And I'm going to start making that a matter of serious prayer. Wow, what a great message tonight. I'm going to ask you, in a moment, if you would, well, just go ahead and if you would go to the back. I know our people are going to want to shake your hand and greet you. I'm so glad that you were here tonight. What a What a great job you did. What a blessing. I know the Lord used you tonight. I appreciate all the love that you've showed us, Christy and I, tonight. And we love all of you. All of you. We're so glad. Meredith, come on up here real quick. Meredith made a decision recently, and she wanted to make it public and tell a little bit about it. I'm going to let you, in your own words, if you don't mind, tell the church the decision that you've made in your life and a little about it. Come over here. Come right here.
I grew up in church all my life. I grew up in another church. I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old, and again at 18. And yeah, I was very sheltered, homeschooled, and I just felt in my life. Now I'm 34 years old. I have a baby, and you know, I just felt this calling to just get that reassurance of my salvation. And so I've been talking to Miss Christy, and she's been so helpful. And I got that about 2 weeks ago. And so I just wanted to go ahead and kind of seal the deal and get baptized again. And so I really thank Miss Kim too for, you know, giving me that little push. That was a great inspiration. So I've been a believer all my life, but I just felt like I just needed to, you know, kind of seal the deal. So.
We're so proud of you, and we know that you trusted the Lord as a child, and all those things. And a lot of us have been through what you've been through. And I'm so glad that you drove that nail down deep. Now there hopefully won't be any other doubts, and you can just put this to rest. And I know that a lot of times when you come to know the Lord young in your life, these things can happen. But I think you did the right thing. And I'm so proud of you. We look forward to baptizing you. We're going to be putting it on the calendar tomorrow, but I'm going to have a Get It Done Sunday. We've got about 7 or 8 people in our church that have talked to us recently about the need to be baptized. We're going to have a special Sunday where we try to get all the people who need to be baptized here in the next couple of weeks. So tomorrow I'm going to put it on the calendar, and that'll be a great day for you to just get it done. Get it done and get it behind you and move forward in your walk with the Lord, no longer in fear, no longer in doubt, but in faith. And put that in the Lord's hand. If you're happy for her and you're going to be praying for Miss Meredith, raise your hand, say a big amen. 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 And we help spread the word. Tomorrow in our staff meeting, we'll put a date to this Get It Done Sunday. We got a bunch of people that need to be baptized. We've got several kids that were just saved in VBS that need to be baptized. Plus, we've got several adults that have been kind of putting this off, so it's time. I'm going to let you go ahead and go down here, and people can shake your hand. But Meredith, we are beyond proud of you and so happy for you. And I'm so glad that you are doing what you need to do, doing what you need to do to have this peace. I did get a call today from Brother Terry. Brother Terry, I expected it to be about Ginger. We know that Ginger is on her deathbed, and that's fully what I expected to hear when I answered the call. But it was not Ginger. It was his sister, Lori, who passed away today. So Lori Bowers, many of you know her. She was a member here for many years. And I comforted Terry and comforted Sherry. And we, of course, prayed together. But Lori was diagnosed young in life with Alzheimer's. And in that, today, she had some complications from that. And she died due to the complications of that. So I hate to be the bearer of that news, but pray for the Bowers family, who will probably get bad news within the next 24 to 48 hours again in the form of Miss Ginger, who is literally ready to go to heaven at any moment. And, of course, it's bad news in one sense. It'll be good news in another sense through the glory of God. But I do praise the Lord for this end, that Ginger and Lori are both born again. They both had a great faith in God, and I do believe that Lori is comforted and no longer dealing with that horrible Alzheimer's, and I believe that she herself is better off, that those who remain who will miss her will be the ones that need the prayer the most. And I want you to pray for the Bowers family and the Lamoy family. They're going through so much right now, and so if you'll remember them in your prayers, I know they would appreciate that. Your text, your cards, your calls are always meaningful. We are such a loving church. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like Down East when it comes to the love factor that y'all show and the cards and the prayers and the texts. And not just from one or two, from so many. I've been overwhelmed in my own personal life with the love that this church shows. And I guarantee you it helps. It helps when people are going through it. You're a huge help, that little note that you send or that text. And don't ever think that the power of that is not there. It is there. But pray for the Bowers family. And, of course, so many of you are grieving, I know, and you knew her well. And my prayers are for all of you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I hope you'll come and let Meredith know that you're so proud of her. And then on the way out, speak to our missionary guest tonight who did such a wonderful job. We have such a good church. I just get overwhelmed with it all the time. God has blessed us with some good people, and I'm so happy about it. Let's pray. Dear Father.